I want to start today with the Gospel of Matthew, and we are going to begin in chapter 1, verse 18. Amen. Let me know when you're there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're celebrating the birth of our Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we begin Amen. With Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will be getting to the Gospel of Luke in a little bit, but I wanted to begin with this verse, because the last sentence there, it says that Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And that is something profound that it just brought revelation. And we know that Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. Amen. But this story, the Christmas story here, begins with an extraordinary event that challenged human understanding. Amen. And it showcases the miraculous work of God. And here in Matthew 1:18, it is a foundational verse, because it reveals not only the miraculous nature of Jesus' birth, but it also reveals faith, the obedience, and the grace that surrounded the story. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the faith and the obedience and the grace that surrounds this beautiful Christmas story. And what this verse is doing is inviting us to reflect on the divine plan, because this plan was divine from God. It is a divine plan, and how God works through unexpected circumstances to fulfill his purposes. Amen. So we begin with the mystery of the incarnation. And it says here that Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And it's talking about a divine miracle. The conception of Jesus was not of human origin. We know that Joseph and Mary were engaged, but they never had intimacy together. They never had intimate relationship. Amen. They were just engaged. They follow and they obey the law of God. But here we find that this took place by the work of the Holy Spirit. And it signified the divine nature of Jesus as the Son of God. And this event, it is miraculous. It fulfills the prophecy in the book of Isaiah in verse 7:14. And we can go there because we're talking about something that was prophesied years and years and years before this came into fruition. Amen. And in Isaiah 7:14, the prophet is prophesying. Therefore, he says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. So God was Jesus' father, physically and spiritually. Jesus had the eternal life of God flowing through his veins. Mary simply supplied the body for deity to inhabit in her. Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh. Amen. So the word of God became flesh. He was manifest in the flesh as the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. And then we also see here God's plan for redemption Amen. Hallelujah. From the beginning, Jesus' birth was a divine intervention to bring salvation to a broken world. Amen. Isn't this world so dark and so broken? My Lord, I tell you that the way things are going, and that, you know, it's a miracle that God hasn't gotten rid of this world yet. You know what I mean? But he promised. He made a promise to Noah that no more. He would never do away with the world. Amen. That was just a one-time thing, but God can do anything he wants. But we're living in a broken world. So the incarnation shows God's willingness to step into humanity and to step into the mess that we're in to restore and redeem the people of this world. This is where John 3:16 comes in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He saw the world was a mess and Adam failed. Amen. He broke that relation, that perfect relationship that man had with God. He failed. He broke it. He committed sin. Amen. And through that sin, oh my Lord, the world became sinful. Amen. We became sinners. Hallelujah. So God's plan of redemption was about bringing somebody, amen, somebody that was sinless to pay the price so that we can have that reconciliation back with God, so that he can restore the relationship back with humankind, with humanity, amen, because he loved us that much, amen. And then we see the mystery of faith here, just as the incarnation required faith from Mary and Joseph, because if when we read the story of Mary and Joseph, which we will, amen, you're going to see the faith that was required by them, the faith that they walked by to fulfill that which God placed in their hearts to do. And it calls us as Christians, as believers of Christ, to trust in God's plan, even when it surpasses our understanding, even when it doesn't make sense. Amen. Right. We gotta trust the plans of God. We gotta walk by faith. That's why it is a statement that we speak over and over and over, week after week. We gotta walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. So we're going to talk about the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph, because it's really intriguing. Amen. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. She was engaged. And in those times, you know, when somebody was engaged to in the Jew side, they were like married, but then they weren't really married, but they call it marriage. It was a marriage, you know, but they were really engaged. They weren't married yet. Amen. And here we see a test of faith. Mary and Joseph's engagement period was marked by unexpected challenges. Joseph's initial reaction, as described in the following verses that we're going to read, reveals his struggle. Yet both ultimately chooses to obey God. Amen. And we're going to go there now, because it's so intriguing. Amen. Go back to the book of Matthew, and let's start in verse 19. Let's talk about Joseph here. Then we're going to talk about Mary. And in Matthew 1:19, and I'm going to go into the story a little bit more. Then Joseph, her husband, right? Remember I said they were still engaged. Amen. But this is how the Jews recognized it. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Because we read before that he found it Mary with child. In other words, he witnessed Mary was pregnant. Amen? And I'm going to get into that. And in verse 20 it says, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And I want to stop here for a little bit. Amen. Because when we talk about Mary, you're going to see, but I just want to give you a little glimpse of what we're going to go into. So it says here that he found Mary pregnant. Amen. So if you know the story of Mary, which we're going to get there, Mary, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, and maybe we should go there now, but anyway, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary, amen, Mary was a virgin woman, amen, and the angel spoke to her a few things which we're going to touch upon, amen, but at the same time, the angel appeared to Mary. 6 months before that, he had appeared to her cousin Elizabeth, amen. So Elizabeth, who was over the age of bearing children, the angel came to her and said, you will conceive a child and you're going to name him John. Amen. And we know the story of Elizabeth and her husband, where the angel came to Elizabeth and to the husband and said, your wife will bear a child and you shall call him John. Because he is the one that was called to be he's the messenger of the Lord. Amen. But anyway, let me stop here. Let me go to Luke, because I don't want to miss the point that I'm making here. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke and let's start in 1:26. Because I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm sorry, I apologize. Luke 1:26. Amen. Let me know when you're there. Are you there? Amen. Amen. Now in the sixth month, amen, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over his house, the house of Jacob, forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And Amen. The angel departed from her. Amen. So here we have Mary, hallelujah, received this message from the Lord, and she humbled herself and she says, yes, yes. Mary's willingness to submit to God's will exemplifies the deep faith and the trust she had for God's plan, even at a great personal cost. Amen. And it continues on in this verse 39 that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Amen. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, in other words, Elizabeth began to prophesy into Mary. Amen. Listen to this. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here that the angel came to Mary, right? And then she went ahead and visited Elizabeth, who was pregnant at that time. So by the time she went to visit Elizabeth, Mary must have been already pregnant, because she went away and she went away to visit Elizabeth. Amen. So when we go back to the story of Matthew, amen, in verse 18, when she comes back after visiting Mary, she could have been there maybe 3 months. Amen. Came back. You know, in the first trimester, you start showing, amen. And here, what Joseph saw, that she was with child, she was pregnant, amen. So here we started reading in the book of Matthew, and we're gonna continue. We're you know, Joseph is seen. Imagine you're engaged to, imagine men. Imagine you're engaged to a woman, amen. And she goes away for a few months, amen. And she comes back pregnant. What are you gonna think? What's gonna go through your mind? What would go through our minds if we witness somebody that went away, supposed to be engaged to this man, and comes back showing a belly? Being pregnant, amen. Can you imagine the thoughts that Joseph had as he just saw Mary for the first time after a few months, amen. But here, and it says here that Joseph began to ponder, amen. And in verse 20, Matthew 1:20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Amen. Didn't the angel also tell Mary, you shall have a son, and you will call his name Jesus? Amen. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm trying to make a point here that here we have, it says here that Joseph was a just man, but now he found Mary pregnant with child, and he began to ponder. And it says here that the angel then appeared to him in a dream. You know, sometimes we daydream. It could have been in his sleep. It could have been while he was daydreaming. He must have been pondering, how can this be? How can this happen? Amen. But God sent an angel, and the Lord himself spoke to Joseph in a dream, because he was initially troubled, amen, by what he was witnessing. He was being challenged right now. I said, whoa, what happened, you know? So the angel came and gave him a word. And because Joseph was a just man and he believed God, he believed the word of the Lord. Amen. And here we have the angel prophesying that Mary's son will be called Jesus. And then we have the angel prophesying to Mary that your son will be called Jesus. Amen. So I'm here to tell that it doesn't say anywhere in the gospel that Mary spoke to Joseph about what the Lord had revealed to her and the plan that the Lord had for Mary. So here we have the Lord God prophesying from Elizabeth into Mary. We have the angel giving word to Mary. And now we have in a separate occasion, the Lord God giving word to Joseph about Mary and Mary's son. Amen. So he can't, you know, a lot of times when we're pondering on things, or maybe things that are happening, or maybe we're thinking about a person, a lot of times we end up dreaming things about that situation or about that person. But this didn't happen because Joseph never had an opportunity to speak to Mary, and Mary never revealed to Joseph what the angel had told her. So here we have, amen, that there was no opportunity for Joseph, amen, to have a dream about maybe what Mary, what the angel had told Mary. In other words, this dream was totally outside, amen, of Mary's circumstances. You know what I mean? Because a lot of time we ponder on things and we end up dreaming about that, but this wasn't the case with Joseph. Joseph had a dream, and in that dream an angel appeared to him, and he believed, even though he was troubled at first. But the angel come to comfort him and give him peace and say, hey, your fiance has not slept with anybody. Amen. She's pregnant because it was by the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this needed to be done to bring fulfillment of the promise of God that was made through the prophets times before. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. So here we have the test of faith. You know, Mary and Joseph's engagement period was marked with this unexpected challenge. It was totally unexpected. Amen. And his Joseph's initial reaction is described in these verses, how he must have been shocked. Amen. And revelation came to him. But yet in the beginning, he was struggling. Amen. But then at the end, we see his obedience. Amen. And then in verse 124 says, then Joseph, after the Lord spoke to him, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. So we see here Joseph's obedience, his faithfulness, you know, even through a dream. Because how many know that God speaks to you in dreams? God can speak to you in dreams. God has spoken to me about decisions that I need to make in a dream. Because I was pondering and pondering about what to do with certain decisions that I needed to make. What do I do, Lord? I don't know what to do. And yet he, in a dream, he showed me the decision that he wanted me to pursue. And I followed and obeyed that decision. And it went well with me. Can I tell you that decision, what it was? It went well. Amen. So you know it's of God. When your plans, or not even your plans, the Lord's plan, and he puts in a plan and he gives you a path to follow, God will open every door and he will make a way where there is no way. He will make the impossible possible. Because it is God. It is God fulfilling the plan That's through right. you as long as you walk by faith and you continue to obey the word of the Lord. Amen. So here, you know, here we have Joseph's integrity. Amen. And he chose He chose to trust God's revelation through the angel and took Mary as his wife, demonstrating obedience and righteousness. Amen. And Mary just humbled herself and submitted to what the angel had told her. Hallelujah. And so to me, this is a great observation, the way scripture tells us how Joseph found her with child. I mean, it was intriguing, and it was intriguing to go deeper into scripture and find out and put together, come out with a message of faith and obedience and revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, Amen. For your son. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and just their faithfulness, hallelujah, reminds us that following God often requires courage and trust. How many of us know this? When you follow God, it requires you to trust him with all your heart, mind, and soul. To trust him. You got to be courageous. Amen. You cannot be afraid. You just got to trust the plans of God, especially when his plans defy, resist, or challenge our human reasoning or logic. Amen. Because a lot of times his plans, it don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But yet we got to go back to scripture and say, wait, his ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Amen. God knows what's best for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, we got to follow through with obedience and faithfulness and see the plans of God be fulfilled in your life. Amen. And here we have, I want to talk to you also about the role of the Holy Spirit, because it was at work. God's power was at work in Mary. And God's power was at work throughout scripture, throughout the Bible. And the Holy Spirit plays a central role in the story of Jesus' birth, bringing life where there was none. Amen. I mean, Mary conceived life. There was nothing there, but yet the Holy Spirit power overshadowed Mary, and she conceived, accomplishing the impossible. Amen. Many religions don't believe this. Amen. But we do. We do by Amen. Faith. We believe Amen. This. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we do. Hallelujah. The role of the Holy Spirit is also seen in the new creation. Just as the Spirit hovered, like it says in Genesis 1:2, the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters in creation. Hallelujah. Amen. And he now brings forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ, initiating new creation, a restored relationship between God and humanity. That is good news, church, that now we can have relationship with God the Father. We have relationship with God. Amen. And what about the Spirit in our lives? The work of the Spirit, the role of the Spirit in our lives. The same Spirit who brought Jesus into the world is at work in believers, empowering us to live for God and fulfill his purposes. Let's go there, because this is a key scripture of the gospel. Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. Look at what it says. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. The Spirit of God is at work in the believer's life. The Spirit of God, church, is at work in your life. Amen. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that is in the inside of you. The Spirit is always working. There is power in the Spirit. He's always working, giving new life, empowering us to live a God-filled life, a God-filled with joy, a God-filled with peace. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the role of the Spirit. Amen. I'm amazed how the Spirit speaks to me, how he guides me.
Amen.
I'm amazed every day the Lord, the Spirit, is talking to me. Every day, the Spirit is guiding me every day. Amen. And we also see in this story, in this Christmas story, the fulfillment of God's promises. And this is how the birth of Jesus came about. The birth of the Messiah came about. The Messiah was promised. Matthew begins in his gospel, if you look at the beginning of the book of Matthew, by highlighting Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises to send a Savior. Amen. And we know through scripture, I mean, and we just read from Isaiah. It was prophesied about the son being born of a Virgin Mary. The book of the prophet Jeremiah also speaks. I can give you the chapter, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. We're not going to go there, but it also prophesies about the coming Messiah. Ezekiel, several times. Chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Chapter 34, throughout the book of Ezekiel, prophesied about the coming of the Lord. Amen. And there's other scriptures in the Old Testament that prophesied about the coming of the Lord, about the promised Messiah. Amen. And God fulfilled his promise to send a Savior. And that Savior was born. Amen. Hallelujah. Another promise, it was God's sovereignty. The circumstances of Jesus' birth was orchestrated by God alone to fulfill his redemption plan, showing that his timing and his ways are perfect. It was perfect timing. It was his perfect plan. It was a plan of redemption that today we are benefiting from, all believers are benefiting from, and all the unbelievers can benefit from when we share the good news of the gospel, when they begin to believe that, yes, Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. Yes, Jesus lived. He did life. He did ministry. He was crucified, but then on the third day, he resurrected. Amen. So that today we can have life and have eternal life. Amen. So that today we can walk in victory. So that today we can walk in peace. Amen. And joy. So that today we can receive salvation, hope, healing, provision. Amen. This is what the Lord Jesus came. Hallelujah. God's plan. And our response should be just as Mary's and Joseph. We need to embrace God's promises. Have God made promises to you in the past? Is he making promises Amen. To you today?
Yes.
Well, just as Mary and Joseph, we need to embrace God's promises. And we as believers, we are called to trust in the faithfulness of God because God is faithful and he keeps his word. Amen. What he says, it will be. What he says, it shall come to fruition. What he spoke into Elizabeth came to pass. What he spoke into Mary came to pass. What he spoke into Joseph came to pass. What he spoke to King David through his son Solomon came to pass, that it was his son that would build the temple. Amen. And the temple that Solomon built was the most beautiful temple that has ever existed. Amen. Promises coming to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's wrap this up. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word. The word became flesh, church. The word became Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that was spoken became flesh. Amen. So I want to give you three applications today as we conclude this message of our Lord and Savior. One, we need to trust in God's plan. Has God given you a plan? I know he's given us a plan as a church. He's giving me a plan. I know he's giving you a plan. Like Mary and Joseph, we may face situations that challenge our understanding, but we can trust that God is working for our good. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28, right? Let's turn there because you have to hear, I have to hear the word of God over and over. Amen. Because I have to make it part of my life. Amen. But Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God has a beautiful plan for all of us. Amen. And even those circumstances may come up, challenges may come up. Hallelujah. We have to trust God in his plan because it's going to work out for our good. Amen. Well, it doesn't matter what the enemy intends to do, because the word says what the enemy intended for evil, God will turn it around for your good. Amen. Number two, we got to rely on the Holy Spirit. I can't say that enough. We got to rely on the Holy Spirit. Just like Brother Mark spoke about the Holy Spirit, we got to rely on the Spirit of God who worked miraculously in Jesus' birth. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is present in our lives. He's guiding us. He empowers us. Amen. And he's continually transforming us through his word. Amen. This is why it's so key. It is so key. Romans, right? And again, another scripture, Romans 12, right? Number two, it tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but I want God's perfect will to be done in my life. Amen. Amen. So we need to rely on the Holy Spirit, and he will work it out, because he's already equipped you. He's already supplied you with everything you need. And through his word, our minds are being renewed every day. And as we get into the word of God, it is a communication. It is a relationship, intimacy that is happening with God. Amen. He's talking to you. I'm talking to him. Hallelujah. He's showing you revelations. He's giving you dreams. Amen. But we got to rely on God, rely on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And celebrate. Number three, celebrate God's faithfulness, because God has been faithful. Amen. Yes, God has been faithful through our life. Christmas is a reminder that God keeps his promises, no matter how impossible they may seem. God is at work. God is faithful. He will keep his promises. You know, what seems to be impossible, God makes it possible. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to trust God's plan. We got to rely on the Holy Spirit and celebrate God's faithfulness every day, church, every day. Hallelujah. Walk by faith, not by sight, because the Lord is with you. So here we have in Matthew 1:18, introduces us to the miraculous faith-filled and even grace-filled story of Jesus' birth. Amen. And through scripture, as we have read, it revealed how God works in unexpected ways. How has God worked unexpectedly in your life? Think about it. I mean, we're about to end 2024. Think about this year. How did God work miraculously in your life this year? How did he work through your family this year? Amen. So the birth of Jesus Christ reveals, hallelujah, how God is working in unexpected ways to do what? To accomplish his will and his purposes in our lives. And he calls us believers, amen, not unbelievers. He calls us believers to respond with faith, obedience, and worship.
Amen.
So this Christmas, church, let us marvel, let us ponder, let us marvel at the mystery of the incarnation. The word became flesh. Amen. And celebrate, church, the faithfulness of that Mary and Joseph had, trusting the God who brings hope and salvation and makes the impossible possible through his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. There is none like him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, you are blessed. Amen. You are highly favored. God. Hallelujah. And God is with you every day.